I don't know if you know this about me, but every year I set goals.
You're so the kind of person who sets New Year's resolutions and actually does them.
This is Devin, Millennials editor. It's true. It's a tradition of mine that my mom instilled in me ever since I was six or so.
What were your goals as a six-year-old?
I was like, I want
to eat more ice cream.
No, it was like, I want to go to France. I just would like write down these really kind of long shot things and see if they happened. To be honest, I think that's why New Year's is one of my favorite holidays. Not necessarily because of the champagne and confetti celebration, but because there's this moment between where I am right now and January 1st, where I feel like I'm swinging between branches. And I can make a plan for myself.
Goals 2017.
But right now, that plan is a little fuzzy. How do you write down goals when you don't have a clear idea of what you want? You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about coming of age and maneuvering your 20s. This is not a typical Millennial episode. It's more of a behind-the-scenes episode. After a year of making Millennial full-time, my editor, Devin, and I are trying to figure out what's next. A year ago, my life looked pretty different. This is a clip from a holiday party I attended last December. It was hosted by the Public Radio Exchange. When I walked in, I didn't know anyone. I don't even remember how I got an invitation, to be honest. Something that hasn't happened in the past year is I haven't become a better singer. But I hope we can all look past that. I was unaware that at this party, I would meet Julie, and that our conversations would eventually lead me to signing with the Radiotopia Network. I couldn't predict that Millennial would become a regular publishing show, releasing episodes every other week, and that we would have enough money to pay people to help.
So what is your goal for 2017?
Devin's question brings me back to where I am right now, in my closet, talking to her on the phone. I have a lot of goals for 2017. I mean, I'm struggling with these words because I don't really know that answer. Last year, my goals were really clear. Quit my day job, make Millennial full-time, become sustainable, join a network, and create episodes on a regular basis. But now that those pieces are in place, the goals are a bit fuzzier. There is one thing that's on my mind. How do we make the seasons of this show better than the previous ones? If you go to the website, right?
And let me go to the website here.
How do you feel about this second season? You came in at 16, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of these titles are mine.
Oh, yeah, they are. At that point, I'm just like, whatever fits. Yeah, that sounds great. Great. Put it up. Great. If you haven't been following Millennial, our first season was a documentary narrative of my life. And our second season was us trying to expand beyond my own story.
I feel like every time we finish an episode, it's like, okay, what are we doing next? Like, what's the next episode?
Yeah.
And it's just go, go, go.
Devin and I have been working together for 9 months, but this is the first time we're sitting down and talking about season two.
You know what strikes me about this season is it's not cohesive. It's experimental.
Mm.
There's a little bit about you. There's stuff that's like super about other people. There's stuff that's very much kind of a mix of the two.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. It's like a smorgasbord. It's like a buffet of like trying something, got it, something.
But that was good. I mean, that's what we were trying to do in a lot of ways.
But there may be growing pains that come with lots of experiments and a heavier production schedule. Like the beginning of season one, there were moments where, like, every single time I released an episode, like, I had these butterflies in my stomach that made me feel like I was living on the edge of my own life in a way. And I feel like I've lost that in season two, or I just don't feel them as often.
Do you think it's because you were focusing so much on your own story and now you've sort of moved towards integrating other people's stories, and so you're not risking as much of yourself? Or do you think it's something else?
I mean, I think it has to do with risk. I don't know if it necessarily has to do with my story, but it's hard to tell. Listeners write in and they always tell us how much they resonate with season one, how it moves them and calls them to act. But with season two, people don't have that same kind of reaction. As I'm talking to Devin, I find myself admitting out loud, like, Millennial will never be season one. I just don't think that that can happen. And I also don't think that it's sustainable for me personally to make an episode every other week about my life that is as emotional and interesting as the episodes in season one. Do you think that that's a bad thing?
I think it's an unavoidable thing. Unless you want to throw your life into chaos.
No.
That's the nature of it. Like, the harder that you work to get your life in a place that makes you happy, the less inherent conflict beyond just like the conflict that we all live with.
Yeah. We used to say, you know, when I got rejected from NPR, we used to say, like, bad for life, good for the podcast, you know?
Right?
And now we say, like, when Thanksgiving went really smoothly, we say, like, good for life, bad for the podcast. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. Maybe you could, you know, like, develop a drinking problem. Yeah. Or, you know.
Oh, gosh.
A little boyfriend on the side. You know, something.
Throw a little conflict. We could turn into like a reality TV show, Millennial. That'd be so trashy.
But so good.
All joking aside, this is something I need to work through. Because Millennial is changing. And while this is inevitable, Devin and I have to create some sort of plan moving forward. That's up next. But first, a short break. Support for Millennial comes from FreshBooks, an accounting software that makes running your small business easy, fast, and secure. When I decided to pursue Millennial full-time, I had to figure out billing, invoicing, and how to manage my cash flow all by myself. FreshBooks makes all of that so easy. And with their new revamped platform, they make accounting look so beautiful. Each page is beautifully designed, simple and clean, and it answers questions you didn't even know you had. Like when you log in, you may be asking yourself subconsciously, how much is my business making? And boom, FreshBooks tells you right off the bat. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day free trial to Millennial listeners. All you have to do is go to freshbooks.com/millennial, 2 L's, 2 N's. And when they ask you, how did you hear about us? Support the show and enter Millennial.
What was the last episode that you felt like you were asking a scary question?
For the whole episode?
Well, that was at the heart of the episode. Or like one of the major things you were exploring.
I mean, I think the last one was probably the internship one. And it was because that episode made me incredibly uncomfortable. And I was about to, you know, you're going to publish it. And like, I had no idea how I felt about it.
Maybe when you talk about risk, you're not really talking about like the risk of the style, like the way that the show is presented or like the way you're telling stories, but you're really talking about the subject matter. And maybe you've been telling stories where no one's going to get offended and no one's going to get there. Everybody's going to feel good at the end of it.
By playing it safe.
You're playing it safe. And I'm not saying go out there and alienate your listeners, but are you asking questions that are scary questions for you?
Not all the time. No. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said the last one that you felt really excited and nervous about was that internship one.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because you were asking questions that you were scared of. You were stepping into the world of like controversy a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do feel like because of the election, I feel the weight of lots of people who are my age listening, and I want to be able to, like, I do feel like a responsibility to like respond. You know, as we go into season 3, how is this going to be different than season 2?
What do your instincts say?
I mean, my instincts say that I feel like I want to have a clear understanding of like what millennials' core values are, and like for that to then be the ripple that expands out into the pitches that we bring in and the episodes that we produce. As I'm saying this, I can feel how vague and amorphous this sounds, but it doesn't make me too nervous. It just means I need to ask myself more questions between now and January 1st. For me, I'm like, no matter where I am, I'm always going to be like doing this thing that we're doing right now, you know, like reevaluating, looking, being hard on ourselves and like critiquing and like thinking about how do we move forward? How do we grow? How do we, you know, like push ourselves and be fulfilled? And like that will never change. For some reason, I assumed Devin approached the new year in the same way.
But I think that like we do approach it a little bit differently. Like I think I haven't always been as overt with the questions I ask myself.
Do you write down goals? Is that something that you do for yourself every year?
No.
Are you gonna do some this year?
Maybe.
So when I write down goals, it is like admitting to yourself out loud what it is you actually want. I'll have those visible for me to see. I have them on my phone, you know, and the background of my phone are my goals. And
you're such a dork.
I know. I love it though, because the crazy thing is that I've experienced since I graduated from college is that like miraculously I cross those things off. And I feel like it's because I write them down and I know what it is that I'm moving toward.
I think for a while, and maybe this is common, the reason I would have been hesitant to write goals down is I didn't know where I wanted to be. Like it's taken a long time for me to figure out what I love to do and what makes me excited. I think for a while it was like a process of elimination more than it was moving towards a goal. It was like figuring out, no, that's not what I want to do. But figuring out like really exactly what you want to be doing, that's really hard. And I think you're really lucky that you've known. But I don't think everybody knows.
I haven't always known that I want to be a radio producer or that, yeah.
What happened when you realized that you didn't want to be a photojournalist?
It's almost like being in a relationship that just gets dull.
Well, what do your goals look like during that though? Like, what do you write down?
I write down, I need clarity. I will have clarity about what I want to do with my life.
But how do you quantify clarity?
When I write those things down, like I always start kind of like big umbrella. So like the big umbrella would be, my goal is to have clarity about what I want to do with my life. And then as I walk through my day, that's always on my mind. It's like, all right, I'm trying to figure out what it is I want to do. What are things that spark my engagement? And it's because that's like on my mind. So like, for instance, you start with this big umbrella. I want to be more clear with what I want to do with my life. You walk through life. I start listening to podcasts and I'm like, wow, this is, like, I'm moved. I really love this. I really love to consume it. I'm really curious about making it. And then the umbrella gets smaller, right? I want to learn how to make audio. I want to have an audio piece done by this year, right? Mm-hmm. And then it continues to just become more narrow. There may be a time, you know, in my life where I'm like, this audio relationship is really dull, you know? And I'm like, ooh, but interior design is interesting. And like, I'm obsessed with Pinterest, you know? Like,
oh God, that may be the end of our relationship.
But I'm saying like, that could also easily happen because like, yeah, I just see it as evolving, right?
You're such a millennial. Yeah, well, so I'm going to assign you a little homework assignment, which is to like write down your goals for 2017.
I got a lot to think about. It's going to be a long list, girl. Yeah, wait, what about you? You got to do it too. I'm going to give you a homework assignment to make your own goals.
Oh, I thought I was the one who gave homework.
Nope.
Oh, no. I've created a monster.
Goals 2017. A few days later, I find myself in front of my computer in my closet. My goals are somewhere between vague and specific, a pretty broad range, but all of them have a common theme. In season 3, I want to talk about topics, ask questions, and sit in front of people that make me feel uncomfortable. When I look back on this year, the scariest moments are when I feel butterflies in my stomach right before I do something. Those are also the moments I remember the most. And those are what I want in my 2017. If you want to share your 2017 goals, email stories@millennialpodcast.org. I would love to hear them. I'll be publishing some of mine on Millennial's newsletter, which you can read by going to millennialpodcast.org/newsletter. Devin Taylor edits Millennial, and Justine Paradise provides production assistance. Before we give you scenes of an episode from season 3, a few announcements. We would love to create a group of committed listeners to give us feedback on Millennials episodes every few months. It's a chance for us to get outside ears, and it would be incredibly helpful. If you're interested in being a part of this conversation and giving regular feedback, go to millennialpodcast.org/feedback. To keep tabs on Millennial, follow us on Twitter at MillennialPDCST, Facebook, or Instagram. If you like the show and want to become a sponsor, email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. Support for this episode is provided by the Knight Foundation and MailChimp. Millennial is a proud member of Radiotopia and PRX. Next up on Millennial, we're starting season 3 with something way outside of my comfort zone.
Y la gente aquí le gusta las turistas. Sí, yeah.
A trip to Cuba.
What are your biggest fears growing up?
Mi mayor miedo es.
His biggest fear right now is that the same way that the state takes one step forward and then many steps back, so he's afraid that something like that might happen to other parts of the private sector.
Yo no quiero ni pensar en eso.
Here, we'll learn what it means to come of age in a country that feels stuck. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening.
Radiotopia. From PRX.